The world is flat. So what next? Talk Asia interview with Thomas Friedman.
Thomas, great to have you on the program today.
Great to be here.
Now, you're one of America's leading opinion makers. Is there a sense of responsibility, do you think, that goes along with that? Or do you just say, you know what, I'm going to write what I like and you can take it or leave it?
Well, the answer is really both. There is a huge sense of responsibility. People often will come up and say, God, what's it like to have that audience? Because I know that wide audience is out there, I wake up in the morning after I've written a column and I'm totally in agony. Did I get it right? Did I say that exactly the way I wanted to say it? I agonize over every column precisely because I know it is going to be read by a lot of people, and it's going to be in Google, forever. So there is that sense of responsibility. But at the same time, you do have to take the attitude of, this is what I think, this is why I think it. I'm not in a popularity contest. If you like it, great. If you don't like it, please don't throw a shoe, okay? But you gotta believe what you say and say what you think, so.
You've long traveled the planet investigating globalization. How do you think that the current economic state of things is going to affect it?
Well, I wrote a book called The World is Flat, and I want to now apologize. I got it wrong. The current economic crisis tells me I got it wrong. The world is so much flatter than I thought. Who knew? Who knew that Iceland was a hedge fund with glaciers?
Right.
Who knew that 15 British police departments would be depositing their funds in Icelandic online saving account called icesave.com? You couldn't make that up. Even I, who knew the world was flat, I didn't know it was that flat. And that's really what we've learned in this crisis. For me, that's the real revelation. I knew we were intertwined. I knew the world was flat. But what I've really learned is just how flat it's become. A minor variation in interest rates between Iceland and Britain led all this money, to go from Great Britain to Iceland, of all places. So I think that's the real lesson here.
Your most recent book, Hot, Flat, and Crowded, what is it precisely about that title that made you choose it?
It's getting hotter, global warming. It's getting flatter, which is my metaphor for the rise of middle classes all over the world that are consuming and producing like Americans now, with all the energy and natural resource implications that has. And we're in a world that's getting crowded, population-wise. I look at these problems, and what I see is incredible opportunities masquerading as insoluble problems. Those opportunities are embedded for me in the next great industrial revolution, which I call ET, energy technology, the pursuit of abundant, cheap, clean, reliable electrons and molecules. And the country that owns ET, I believe, is going to have the most energy security, national security, economic security, competitive industries, clean environment, and global respect.
What should we expect from you insofar as tackling a new subject for your next book?
Well, I'm a big believer, if you don't go, you don't know. It's really my motto. I mean, I have the best job in the world. I get to be a tourist with an attitude. I get to go wherever I want, whenever I want, and write whatever I want. It's a great job. I have the best job in the world. I mean, somebody has to have it. I've got it, and you don't, okay? So it's a great job. But with it, as we said, it comes a lot of responsibility. And I really write my columns by following my nose. Why am I here in Hong Kong? It's not because an editor told me to go to Hong Kong. It's that I was basically sitting in America. And America right now, I normally am traveling all the time. I haven't been traveling because America is the greatest show on earth right now. Between Barack Obama coming in and the financial crisis, which we started basically, I don't want to go anywhere. All right. But I said, no, if I'm going to go anywhere, I'm going to go to China right now, because we're not going to get out of this without cooperating and working closely with China. And it's the G2 now. I mean, at the end of the day, it's going to be Barack Obama and Hu Jintao. And it's very interesting, when you think about it. Hu Jintao's second term overlaps as president of China almost perfectly with Barack Obama's first term. And I have a feeling these two guys are going to get to know each other really well. I hope it will be for the benefit of both countries. I'm an optimist at heart. I was in Israel a couple of years ago, and the editor of the Haaretz newspaper, where my column runs in Israel, had a dinner party. And I asked him, why do you guys run my column? And he said, Tom, it's because you're the only optimist we have. But I do live by the motto that pessimists are usually right. Optimists are usually wrong, but all the great change in history was done by optimists. So I'm going to go down swinging with optimism.
Tom, it's been a real delight having you on the show.
Thank you.
And enlightening to boot.